Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again and open this precious book. Lord, without the Holy Spirit of God, we wouldn't have it. Without the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we wouldn't understand it. Without the Holy Spirit of God drawing us, we'd never have been saved. And we understand the importance of being Him. Now, I pray this morning you get us together, centered in the thought of the message in such a way that we would be thankful for our country. At the same time, pray for our country more, for the burden that we need to pray for it due to the direction it's going in many ways. And yet, see, it's still the best country in the world. Give us wisdom today, and we're going to thank you for that. Honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalt Him, and may God the Father be pleased, and may the Holy Spirit be able to use us because we obey Him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. And I want to go back, and here I've been on this for a good while because you can't look at the news lately without understanding there's a great controversy in our nation. And there seemed to be a tendency to move away from the standards that God allowed us to be set up when our country in the Constitution was set many years ago. It amazes me that people can read the Constitution and yet come up with different ideas, because it's easy, I think, sometimes to find areas where you want something to go a certain way that was not intended, and I believe not intended, certainly the way that some people declare it today as it was written, because in it gave us much freedom to serve, and hear me closely, to serve the God of this Bible. Not other gods, even though it gave religious freedom, and we have to have that to serve Him. And so this morning, I want to talk to you on this subject for just a moment, here found in Daniel, 2,600 years ago, as God gave instruction about Belshazzar, who many historians say was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, even though the Bible refers to as the son. And of course, that's easy to understand. Sometimes Jesus Christ is also referred to as the son of David. But we know that he's actually the genealogy of David. And he came, as far as earthly is concerned, to sit on the throne of Israel. He had to be born that way. But we know he was the son of God. And so here we look at Belshazzar, though, in about verse 1 through 5 in just a moment. And here's my subject. And by the way, I want to say, maybe someone years ago as a young man could have said to me, Brother Hinch, you're not old enough to be able to evaluate things. Well, I've got news for you now. There's some people still think I'm not old enough, and I appreciate that. But I think I, almost being 80 years old, I am old enough to compare what I saw in my early days and what I see now and what God has shown me in Scripture, a basis in turn of things that happen and how God deals with people. And He never changes His mind, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in the age of grace, we have the Savior. But I want you to know that when you think about the Bible, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, verse 11, verse 12, you find that God tells us that in the writing of His Word in the Old Testament and many places in the New as far as history is concerned, when He documents something that He is talking about, He sets it down for a purpose, not only for those in the immediate era or the immediate time, but it's standards that people can look at years later in context and understand God doesn't change His way of operation unless He can make something much better. Now, why do I say that? Because like what we were talking about this morning, we've been talking about the tabernacle in the temple, and that's the way God set up the Old Testament. I'm glad He set up the new, aren't you? Because in the new, when Christ has come, we're not looking for Him to come to save people anymore. We're not looking to go to Calvary. We're not looking to come to be the sacrifice. We're looking to come back because He is our sacrifice. And one day He's going to come back for the church. So I have to understand that when I look at what He's talking in the past, if God dealt with Israel, if God dealt with nations in the past because of certain things that were wrong, what is to keep us from not understanding the Holy Spirit? Let us know He can deal with nations today. Because if we do something that's wrong as a nation, like Babylon did, then God's going to let us know He dealt with Babylon, He's going to deal with America. Whether we believe it or not, it doesn't make no difference. He's going to do that. And so I understand, I want to talk to you a little bit about similar or sobering similarities between ancient Babylon and modern day America today, compared to what I've seen in my lifetime. Now, it's changed so much. There's a gradual change through the years in 50 years or century, so forth. But in the last 50 to 60 years, it's been the greatest change you can find in man's history because we've done so many things. You've heard of this before, but it fits in. I heard there was an atheist on Memorial Day, went walking in the woods. And he was walking through, just enjoying the scenery and so forth. And all of a sudden, he met a great big grizzly bear. And that bear took after him and ran and chased. And he ran as hard as he could, but, you know, you can't outrun a bear. He grabbed that atheist and grabbed him, put him on the ground, and had his teeth just about ready to gnash out at him. And he cried out, "Please, God Almighty, please, God, help me, help me." And time stopped and stood still. And a light glory opened and shined down, and a voice said, "Why should I stop to help you do anything? Did you not know that you have been a hypocritical about me ever since you've had the chance to know anything about who making decision about things? What should I do?" He said, "I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I don't deserve it. I realize that." He said, "I want you to know at the same time that that if you can't and you won't do it for me, and you're not obligated to do that. It's not, you don't have any reason to do it. But I just ask that you make that bear a Christian." And just like that, the light left. The voice said, "Okay, you got it." Time started again. That bear had him at just about, and then he stopped. Looked at him, moved over to the side, kneeled down, put his paws together. And he began to pray to God. He said to God, "Lord, thank you for the food I'm fixing to eat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at it right now. This world, this nation has a false view about who the true and living God. Now, there's a remnant in this nation. But they have a false view about who God, view about who God really is and what he's doing. You know why? You can't throw his word out in the trash and hear from him. You can't rewrite it and hear from him. We have to take that he's able not only to inspire it to be written, but at the same time preserve it for our day. So let's read what he says in Daniel chapter 5. He says in verse 1, Belshazzar, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now he's having a party, not just for his local family, but for the whole country. Invited all the guests and so forth in. Belshazzar's, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank the wine and praised the God of gods and of silver and the gods of gold, gold and brass and iron and wood and stone. Isn't it amazing? It took a little bit of alcohol to get them started, but it don't take much alcohol to get you to a place that you want more alcohol, and when you get to the place, after a while, you mock everything. Here he has a great big party. He's not afraid. He's conquered to conquer the world, even the Israelites, because God's people had been conquered, been ruling over. And here he's given his gods in the plural all of this wonderful praise and leaving God out. The party was on. But then suddenly, look as you were in verse 5. In the same hour came forth the finger of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts were troubled him. So the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. The party's over now, isn't it? Man, he's not looking to blaspheme God by using the utensils that he got from conquering Israel out of the temple. Now his knees are shaking and knocking. In fact, he's afraid. He asks all through the country those who help him, his swallowers, and paraphrase quickly, Chaldeans and soothsayers, wise men, to come if they'd come. In verse 7, he said, latter part of that verse, "I'll clothe you with scarlet and a chain of gold about your neck, and then you have to be able to have the third rule of the kingdom." None of them could do that. Then we find that in verse 10, the queen had reason to come for some reason to talk about, heard about it. She said, sent word to him, but told him the fact. He said, "Look, there's a man here that your father captured. He can do that. His name is Daniel." Sake of time, you read the rest of that. She tells how he is in the rest of that verse, and then we get over it out verse 16. And he says, and Daniel says, and I've heard of thee that thou canst interpret and dissolve dreams. Now, if I can do this, he offered the same thing. Then I like what Daniel said. Now, keep in mind, he's a slave here. He's got a chance to be raised to third place in the kingdom. Be probably one of the richest men in Babylon. And then Daniel answered and said to the king, let thy gifts be thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I'll read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And he goes on and explains about that. And go over to verse 22. And we'll pick up some of that later to fill in. He said, and when his son Belshazzar has not humbled himself through the thou knowest this. You know what your father did. And you go back in chapter 4 and you'll find that his father did humble himself and declared that God was a God after God got through with him. But now he said, you not humble yourself. And he lift yourself up to King verse 23 and serve the same gods and so forth. And then he said in verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him and his writings was written. And this is the writing. I'm getting that right now. Just a little message. That writing that Mina Tika Yafarshan. A three-point message, and that's another message at another time. But what am I seeing here? Ladies and gentlemen, on this Memorial Day, I want to look at some sobering thoughts, similarities between ancient Babylon and modern-day America today. The biggest problem, hear me closely, the biggest battle that we as Americans are facing today is the battle for the soul of our nation. You cannot allow, listen to me, hear me. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Now, we got a lot of good things. We have. I still say you're the greatest nation in the world. But I want to tell you something, folks. You cannot kill little babies out of the womb or out of the womb and get by with it and yet kill a seal and you'd be arrested for it. Amen. There are some things that are not right biblically, and God Almighty wrote this book and it'll stand because it's already in eternity. It'll stand through our lifetime, too. And so when I look here, Memorial Day is a day that we set aside to remember those who lay down their lives for family, friends, and for freedom. Franklin D. Roosevelt said years ago after Pearl Harbor was attacked, those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win those privileges for us. And that's what we acknowledge this morning. We're here today as a nation because there have been those, whether we like it or not, who gave their lives that we could survive even now. And what we're doing now will either let this nation survive for the future for God, because he'll work through his people, or he'll not survive for the future, unless God just comes back and gets the church out and starts the end of age like he's going to do one day. So I say to you that freedom is never really free. It costs us many Americans' lives. And the erosion of America's society has been a slow process down through the years. But in the last few years, it has speeded up greatly. It doesn't matter in the Oval Office, a Democrat or Republican. This nation that we have all come to know and love continue to erode spiritually. Folks, if you've got any biblical spiritual life about you at all, you can measure the barometer that God has given this word to understand what he measures nations by. And it's obedience. It's his son. It's his word. It's what he wants to do through those that will give him their time and their life. Our position today is because of what we tolerated yesterday. Our position tomorrow be what we tolerate today as human beings. Thank God we have a vote. And we can vote, and hopefully God will lead in the vote to give us people in positions that would honor him. Now in Babylon, Daniel saw a lot of what we are seeing today, except his situation is a lot worse. But ours are going to get a lot worse too. It's going to get a lot worse. You can't leave God out and think come out the best. By the way, God still has his hand on this globe. He can turn it, stop it, start it anytime he wants to. He can change anything he wants to. He can take one person and put in, do something that in times that you think would never do something like that for God. He used Nebuchadnezzar. And he had to get him to eat grass before he could get him to do anything much. Or recognize who he was. But when God got through with Nebuchadnezzar, he declared the last verse of chapter 4 who God really was. I'm talking about the God of this Bible. And so I see that Daniel was a lot worse. Now, Daniel chapter 5 describes the collapse of a culture. Daniel's mistake was becoming so comfortable in writing about Babylon. It was, and as he wrote this, he showed that Babylon was becoming so comfortable and secure within their strong walls, they crumbled from within. They thought because of those walls are so wide and so high that no one could come through, the gates could not get broken through, and they felt inside secure. They didn't care what was going on the outside. And God let them see very, very real. You can't be so secure without God. I mean, he can cause little things to happen and come make great things. And that's what happened here. They lost all their sense of remembrance. They lost all their sense of reality and restraint. And it led to no sense of respect. And I pray today, and I pray this week, and I pray for weeks now, that God, you would help me, that we would be able to build challenges to be a people of repentance and acknowledgement that anything we do is vanity without the help of God himself. We need his help. God sets the barometer in life to measure life, not humanity, not Congress. God still measures this life according to his dictates. Let me give you four quick points about sobering similarity between ancient Babylon and modern-day America. The first thing is this, that we see in what Daniel is saying. Number one, Daniel is showing that America is in danger of losing all sense of remembrance. If you read verse 18 down to a few verses through 23, you'll find that so, certainly 22 through 24, as we read just a minute. He told exactly how Belshazzar was according to the way Nebuchadnezzar was when God brought him to his senses. And so those who walk in pride, God is able to put them down when he wants to. Look in verse 37 of chapter 4. He said, now that I, Nebuchadnezzar, when God got through with him, he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All those works are true. And he said, and all whose works are true. And his ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That means he's able to put them down. God said, anytime a person walks in pride, he's able to put them down. I don't care if it's an individual. I don't care if it's a country. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's an angel. And we see that when angel Lucifer fell. He was able to put them down. And so America used to honor God unashamedly and openly. I remember that. I remember in a public school we had Bible reading every class day. Do you? Amen. Well, I remember that. Praise God. Many of you don't because that didn't allow much now in the last number of years. And so I remember when puppet school teacher would give you a Bible if you read the Bible all the way through. I have one with my name on it as a boy in the fourth and sixth grade. So I'm saying to you, there's things have changed. You don't have to look around much without seeing that is true. I mean, those who walk in pride, God is able to put them down. If you don't believe that, just ask Satan. If you don't believe that, ask Adam and Eve. If you don't believe that, ask King David. If you don't believe that, ask Peter in the New Testament. He's able to stop them anytime he wants, and he wants an obedient heart. Peter himself wept because he knew what he had done when Jesus probably needed him the most. So Daniel challenged King Belshazzar by saying, you have lifted yourself up against the Lord in verse 30 of chapter 4. And he said, and for boasting like Nebuchadnezzar did, and he said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? Nebuchadnezzar said this, for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and to the honor of my majesty. In verse 37, the latter part of that, he said again, those who walk in pride, he that is God is able to abase. That's to put them down. So America used to honor God unashamedly. And there was a time when we credited him with our blessings, with our successes, with our lives, and turned to him in the time of trials and losses. We have seen it printed in our currency. We've seen it in our public places. Now, there's not a one in here that doesn't know in the last few years they're trying to remove everything that has to do with God in public places, as if we need to divide state and religion. In other words, they're using the country as, because we have freedom of religion, that anything that pertains to the God of this Bible, take it down. Don't put it. Keep it inside the church. Don't bring it outside. By the way, that's why they'll be coming into the church making a stop too if you're not careful. You say, this is reprobate. No, this is Bible, folks. God is teaching us today that Jesus Christ is the one that the church has to tell this world about. And we just don't do it inside these walls. We do it when we have our opportunity. We try to discreet about it. But at the same time, our job is to still tell this world about Jesus Christ. And so I say to you, we have it printed everywhere. As a matter of fact, our government buildings have it on it. Even our currency, as we're talking about now, remove it off our currency. Today, some are even trying to remove God from everything publicly. Just listen to news. Listen to the news. You can't listen. Most news broadcasters you don't hear in moving. There's a couple, at least one or two in times that would bring God in to the picture somehow or another, so we'd be reminded. There's something about our nation that distinguishes us different than any other nation. Most nations were settled exploring for gold and silver and riches in life. Hear me closely. Most were settled because there were things to gain, and there's nothing wrong in gaining when it's gained right to make us even better as far as financial and other things in this life. But ladies and gentlemen, could you let me remind you just a moment that most men and women that came to America searching for a home where they can worship God and exalt God and worship Him in spirit and in truth and in freedom. And also worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's Son. You go back and look anywhere you want to in the beginning of history of documents written, and you find most of them has reference to the God of this Bible and to what God they felt God was doing through them at that time. They were just being who they were at the time, and never did they see where we're at today, I'm sure. Today, we've fallen a long way off from our founder and fathers about path about our country. Our federal courts are trying to restrict anything about God that may display our government building in Jesus' name. Unfortunately, there are some sobering similarities between ancient Babylon and modern-day America. And when you say that, somebody says, well, don't you come putting your God off on me. I mean, listen, folks, if you think that if God destroyed Babylon, He would and He can destroy America. You say, man, that's fear tactic. No, that's saying, Lord, help us understand who's in charge of our lives. It's Him or it's not Him. If it's not Him, we'll run wild. We'll be worse than Israel. The second thing, America's danger of losing all sense of reality. First of all, we lose the sense of remembrance. We forget what He did for us. At this time, in reality, the Median Persians surrounded the 60-mile walls of the city of Babylon. And King Belshazzar threw a great big party for his guests. And Babylon fell because they had become corrupt on the inside with no sense of remembrance nor reality. The reality was because of who they were and what they did, they had everything in contact. Nobody could beat them. And if they could get inside those walls who were higher than any walls and wider than any walls. And how could they get inside? Because they seemed like that they were defense-proof. Babylon fell because they had become corrupt on the inside. Like those in ancient Babylon, America has been feeling invincible. You ever hear what we say we do? Because our inside powerful feelings. The strongest nation in the world. We don't need your God. We don't need your God. We need all your God. No, we just need the God of this Bible, folks. Well, they've said, oh, no. That's right. They have a right. And by the way, I'm for that because I believe in the freedom. If you let religion give its gods out and you have the chance to give this God out, this God will eventually come on top. This God will eventually come on top. There's no doubt about that at all in our lives. So when I see what's happening now, I understand that God Almighty is allowing us to see some things that's very, very, very important in life. And so now it's time for us to look at the reality. And so America is in danger of losing all sense of remembrance. It's in danger of losing all sense of reality. Number three, America's in danger of losing all sense of restraint. Look in Daniel chapter 5, verse 2. Notice the first thing they did, they began to drink a little bit. And next thing you know, in verse 2, he said, while he tasted the wine commanded to bring the golden vessel, he began to blaspheme God by taking the religious holy vessels that God, that Nebuchadnezzar had captured and brought into his territory and began to abuse them by worshiping false gods, all the gods that they had around Babylon. When a nation or individual loses all sense of remembrance and reality, they also lose sense of restraint. And that's where we're at. We're trying to remove the remembrance, even though we have it. And by the way, eventually they can get rid of all of these documents somewhere or another. And not, by the way, they've got them all out of the textbooks. So they got remembrance out, and then they come back and talk about reality, and now we talk about the restraint. The Babylonians were too blind to see any connection between moral decay and national decline. This is where America is today. We're at the point of moral decay and national decline, and you can't see the difference. We think national decline can be brought to a level beyond moral decay. In God's sight, it can't be. Maybe religious-wise, it can, but not with God's sight. God is always the most moral person there is, and he calls for his people to be that way. We're perfect because of the new creation, but the flesh still gives us problems in this particular life. And so we thank the Lord for that. So the Babylonian, our nation, like Babylon, has been virtually given over to sexual permissiveness, perversion of all types. This is promoted through movies and television, media, and the internet. Male and female models are diminishing in the home. Children are developing their own identity, problems of their own. Much like Babylon, we have lost all sense of restraint. We are saying, don't put your religion off on me. Don't put your God off on me. I want you to know my God is not like your God. Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's true. My God is not like your God, the God of this Bible. Number four, America's danger is losing all sense of respect. Babylon culture crumbles down because nothing was sacred to them anymore. The abandonment of absolutes, and that's gone just about today. Without restraint, they have no respect for anything that's sacred. It's party time in Babylon. Daniel 5:5 is an amazing thing to happen. Party time. I don't know how long this went on, but suddenly it says that we see in the same hour, sometime during the time of that hour of partying, that hand appeared on that wall. At that time, it's amazing, a finger of a man's hand appeared and wrote a message to Belshazzar. And ladies and gentlemen, that message in Daniel 5, verse 6, the king's knees knocked against each other. The party stopped. Amazing me. He began to ask for his soothsayers, had nobody would do it. Because you see, they knew if they said they could and didn't, they lost their lives. The queen said, I know a fellow. Your father captured him with the Israelites, and he didn't realize the God Daniel, he called him that he was of the gods. But Daniel knew who he's following. And he said he could identify with what that hand was saying and give him the information. They do not want, isn't it amazing? And so when he heard about Daniel, send for him. He said, I'll give you the same thing I offer these. Give you a scarf around your neck. I'll give you a gold chain, third part of the nation. Daniel said, keep your stuff. I don't want that. God wants me to let you know what he's doing. By the way, did you know God still has some voices in this country to let this nation know there's a right way and a wrong way? We're not heard much. Many of your lives are showing that everywhere you go this week. You don't have to say a lot. Just live for the Lord. And your life will be a testimony. The fact is, it brings conviction to people. If you're not careful, you'll find someone make a false accusation about you, because they'll say something you won't doing. Yet at the same time, that's what Satan... See, sometimes Satan can't find the real thing, so he has to tell something that's not real. And so here we find they didn't want the man of God around when the party was going on. But when the crisis came, they looked for the man of God who could tell them who was really in charge and what was going on. And I pray God may help America to settle and see the danger of losing all sense of remembrance. And I said this morning, I've done this a number of weeks. I said this morning, don't forget those in the past that died for a cause, even though we might not agree with the cause at the time, yet we're here because people died for us. All sense of reality is just about gone. All sense of restraint has been removed. And when you remove remembrance and remove reality and you remove restraint, then the next thing comes, you remove respect. And that's where we're at today. Just about no respect anywhere. Don't you see it everywhere, just about? I mean, people in law enforcement, no respect. That's happened to the place that everything's been removed. We're all on a self-island floating around ourselves in our own territory just about in our day. Someone said recently, I'm glad that my God is not like your God. And I said again, I'm glad so too. Our position today has become what we tolerate yesterday and what we tolerate tomorrow, or what we our position to be tomorrow, what we tolerate today. And I thought about this. Our position with God is not toleration. It's worship. And when you worship God like you should, you will tolerate that which needs to be tolerated if it's right. And so should it be for us here in America. And I wrote down a few weeks ago this thought. As I think about life and I think about our country and think about my life, where I'm at, I'll soon be gone. To regret yesterday, hear me, and worry about tomorrow would destroy today. And I believe it all in my heart. This is not a message in turn to worry to the place that we don't do anything, but help say, God, please help me. No one even knows I'm alive. I'm just a statistic, and so most of us that are here when it comes to our country. But I know this, God hears our prayer. I know this, sometimes God answers our prayer, and we saw that, and that's the reason I'm so blessed with our brother the other night, talking about 21 days, God answered the prayer for Daniel 21 days before, but it was 21 days later before it was Saul. And I believe that happens too. I think sometimes prayers that are made may not be answered then, because in God's timetable, in barometer, he can answer right then, for he sees the future, but it doesn't mean he didn't answer it. And I believe with all of our heart that if we pray for God biblically, but you can't do that unless you study. Now, when we do that, they'll say, they think they know everything. Folks, you ask the average Christian in here who really believes this book will tell you they know very little. But I tell you what, God has shown them what they do know. And they'll die for their conviction, because a conviction is not a preference. A preference can change with the wind. Can you not understand that when you move God from this country, just like when Israel disobeyed God, God had to put the chastening rod and use a nation to do that. Can you not see that when you remove God, then you remove him from his presence, then chaos sets in? And sooner or later, look at Israel. Dr. Pine's doing a good job now. Look at Israel. God would, see, rise up, a new generation come up, they go against God, then he'd put them somewhere or another generation come up, and they say, wait a minute, we remember back when our fathers read this. We had these things back before in Jerusalem. And next thing you know, they'd come back a generation, repent, and God bring them back again. And even now, in prophecy, we see them as a nation in our day. God, help us to understand, as we look at the scriptures, what God told Babylon. There are some similarities between ancient Babylon and modern-day America, whether we want to see them or not. Stand to our feet, please. Father in heaven, on this day, Lord, we need to hear more about God intervening. Most people, when they have a disaster, start running somewhere or another, trying to contact all the gods, pray together to all the gods. Father, there's one thing I know as I look through the scripture, and I have in the last period of time. There's nowhere that you ever had a summit or meeting with the gods of this world. There's no other gods in your sight. You are the only true God. And our Father, help us understand that out of love and compassion, you've done for this world more than anything in its anyone could do. And yet they'll spurn and love your love and turn against you. And here we see a pagan country enjoying the things of war. And when they drank a little wine and had a little party, they wanted to blaspheme before the world that they were above the God of Israel. And though Israel was conquered, and though the utensils had been taken and put into the places of paganism, when they began to use them to mock God, God Almighty wrote a handwriting on the wall. We'll see that later. This three-point message there that God told Belshazzar. And we see that very day, life was taken. Our Father, one day we're going to stand before the true and living God. From the very beginning, you've been writing and documenting things for man down through the years. We live in a wonderful age. You gave us the Holy Spirit of God and preserved the Word that was written for us and gave it to us even in our own language. I know it's been messed with and tried to destroy it many times. But Lord, I thank you again for the Holy Spirit that still bears witness. I know this time because of not understanding there may be things that we don't have exactly right, Lord, but we know who you are, that we have that right. And we know who Jesus is, we have that right. And we know the day that we ask Christ to come in our heart, the Holy Spirit drew us to him. When we asked Christ to come in our heart, the Holy Spirit took a bow in our hearts. And now he said, I'll help you understand this book. Father, these men in here and women who served today in this country did that because, first of all, I believe they loved the country. Somehow or another, knowing about you, loved you. And serving the country showed that they were willing to give their lives. And I saw this morning some 26 that were gave the pledge induction into the armed services. And what they had to say that they give allegiance to, they meant it. And yet there's others who try to destroy everything that man's that's accomplished. And yet there's these young people, these young boys and girls, these young men and women, I should say, are still giving their life because they believe in America. On this Memorial Day, for the veterans, Lord, across this country, thousands of them who survived a battle somewhere or another, but their life is so miserable. They lost legs and hands and arms and eyes. Lord, some can't even have mobility as far as the body is concerned. Had to be looked after as babies. God, war is terrible. I never had. We thought we were going one time. I never had to go, but I've been enough in service practicing for war to know and see people, even while we were practicing, get hurt, get wounded somehow or another. And we were just friends trying to learn to do the job. But these men went to a field, fought for a cause for people they didn't know. These women went to a place that they'd be treated very common, and yet they went because their country called them. Let this be a wonderful day to them. And though prayer can connect us together all across this country, Lord, somehow the Holy Spirit, let those who pray across this country, and there's many who are as we are here, let that prayer be felt for those who maybe thought nobody cared. Help someone today who thought his world was so, or her world was so collapsed they'd never get better, to see someone cared. And Father, I pray somehow or another, if you see fit, you can change things, and I know you will. But you see the end from the beginning. You and he'll soar, raise the dead. Nothing's impossible with you. But in life, war is terrible. Good people get hurt as much so as wicked people. And so this day, let it be that which in turn will see our hearts to you. It's sincere to trust you to protect them. And then we realize why we're here. We're here for calls to tell people about Jesus. If there's one here who's listening, or by upstream, or radio in a few minutes, they'll know Christ as Savior. Let them understand there is a remnant of people in this land who love you first, to obey you, and love this book to obey you, Holy Spirit, and yield to you to use us as the mouthpiece to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if someone in here today don't know him as Savior, they can, for you've already paid the sin debt. The Holy Spirit's here, and the Holy Spirit's drawing right out of their heart. Whatever they're thinking, whatever may come to their minds, the Holy Spirit bringing them and wants to draw them to a saving knowledge of Christ. And I pray this will be the day someone will break beyond the boundary and live, Father, and come clinging to the cross. And know that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For we ask this for your glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.